Yes, a very good afternoon, a very beautiful Friday. Oh,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. How's it?
It's good. Today's a good day.
No, it's today is a very good day. It's you know, end of the week.
Yeah.
It's also the day where, you know, there's a lot of happiness happening around.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, welcome to Business and Economic Segment with Kave and David Shombe. We are very happy to be here. And yeah. Just continue listening to our program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can, of course, engage with us. Our number in studio is 083-288-8401.
Yeah. Maybe, Kave, I should ask you because, you know, we have been dealing with a lot of, conversation, especially different topics, especially, you know, young people and festival season, young people and economic development. Now, I think it's... Take our listeners through what are we engaging on today? What is the main topic today?
I think today's topic is another important topic.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be focusing on Namibia's most underappreciated sector.
Yeah.
Which is of course the informal sector.
Yeah.
Which is of course the things like our vendors.
Yeah, yeah.
You know those guys that you just see there at Kapana selling you meat.
Yeah.
Those guys who are in town with their carts selling you grapes.
Yeah, yeah.
Our order with me businesses, you know, the things that are not really appreciated in society.
Yeah.
But they are the things that also do add a lot of value to the economy and to the people's lives because they have a lot of benefits.
Indeed.
And they do a lot to the general public.
Yeah.
So because if it was not for these guys, we all cannot afford food and shop.
Yeah.
But if it was not for these guys who, you know, are on the corner there with their Omaire for $10.
Yeah.
While Omaire in ShopRite is costing you $40.
40 or even 55.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was really not for these people in this sector, like where would we be as Namibians? So I think that's why today's topic is very crucial and it's very important for us to discuss.
Yeah.
No,
look, I think it's very necessary, especially when you talk about the economy. When people talk about the economy, they talk about, most of the people, they only focus on bigger businesses like, you know, Usave, they look at Vurman Block, they look at, you know, Indongo Toyota, they look at Auto House. But for you to build the economy, you need everybody.
Yeah.
You need somebody who is in the informal sector. And mind you, like in Namibia, a lot of businesses which are operating, especially SMEs, most of them are not registered.
Mm-mm.
Most of them are these guys who don't have an office. Some people, they call it suitcase businesses. Yeah, it's a suitcase business because you are here today, tomorrow you are in Rotary's, the next day you are everywhere, or tomorrow you are also closed.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think it's a very important topic that we need to look at, and it's also a topic which needs consideration, especially when it comes to respect of the guys who are keeping the economy moving.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the economy is about money. These guys are going to buy at the bigger stalls also.
Mm.
Yeah, that's why after a very short break, we're going to formally introduce our topic. Then we start with engagement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Do you have a question you want answered on air? Have a quick comment you want to share with the presenter? Eagle FM's SMS line is now open. Send your questions and thoughts to 1040. That's 1040 for only $1.50.
Yes, welcome back to the Business and Economic segment. That is, of course, Lecture Hall 1.
Yeah, just before you start with engagement, is for you to understand to our listeners that, as we have been saying, you know, Business and Economic segment is a platform where we talk about, you know, Namibian economy. It's also a platform where we talk about, you know, opportunities.
Mm.
It's a platform where we talk about, you know, what we have done good and what we have done bad and how we can develop our Namibian economy and also promote, you know, inclusive education, especially when it comes to the economy. And the other thing also, it's a platform where everyone needs to learn from one another because we need the contribution from policymakers. We need contribution from people who have experiences. And we also need contribution to a general public because we are not the experts. When we are here, when I'm here with Kave, we don't mean that we are the experts in those fields.
Yeah.
We are just here to facilitate the program. But we also need your contribution, especially when it comes to those aspects.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, most definitely. And I feel like that's why, even for today's topic, it's a topic that really affects everybody.
Yeah.
Because with the way that the economy is going, everybody is trying to start up a small business somewhere to just get something on the table.
Yeah.
But then for today's topic, which is, of course, job shaming.
Yeah.
When people look down on your job or look down on the type of hustle that you have.
Yeah.
In a sense that, because coming from the African context, that the way we are raised, even here in Namibia, a lot of the jobs are frowned upon because that's not how the economy used to work back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Back then, you had to be a teacher or a doctor
or a
lawyer.
Yeah, or a nurse.
Yeah. You know, something. But then if you were involved in these other careers, like careers that look at culture, like, you know, DJing, dancing, singing, or even being a vendor was not the ideal thing.
Yeah.
So people developed that kind of mindset where they would look down on these other careers because it didn't seem ideal back then.
Yeah.
And I feel like we all grew up with that now also, and it influenced us. But then it's a culture that has to be changed.
Yeah.
It's a culture that has to be broken down because with the economy and the way that things are going, we have to support upcoming entrepreneurs. We have to support people who are trying to build.
Indeed. You know, while you are there, look, I think it's something that is also coming from our traditional, you know, upbringing, as you have said.
Mm.
Because when you are growing up, there's always this saying to say, don't grow up to be like hoo-hoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is coming from a very good, from a very good intention. However, people don't put into consideration the situations. Do you really think, you know, a kid is born in this world and he or she is very proud to say, I want to be like, you know, just for example, I want to be like a cleaner, I want to be like a security guard, although somebody has to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I want to be a vendor.
Mm-mm.
I just want to be a street vendor selling fruits and whatsoever. Do you really think somebody wake up and dream to be like that?
Mm.
Those are some of the foundation of our discussion.
Yeah.
Because situation force people to be where they really don't think they would be. However, for you to survive, you must be there.
Mm.
Yeah, that's why it's always very important to understand before you job shame another person.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about think deep. What really motivated this person to stand in the street and sell? Yeah. Because like nowadays, I don't know the way the statistic is, one of the challenges which youth are facing and it's very terrible. Even if you are educated, if you are what, you know, it's not easy for you to get a job.
Mm.
Either in private sector, in government, non-governmental organizations, even creating your own employment.
Yeah.
That's why there is already this saying, because a lot of people, they are afraid to act on few opportunities which are there because they are scared of what other people are saying. But if you are really good at selling, for example, if Kavi, you are very good at selling, then let me say your uncle has a farm. Let me say he's selling a farm with mangoes, what, but you don't have anything to do at home.
Yeah.
What is so difficult for you to just stand up and communicate with customers and get money?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not something that you say, it's your profession with your degree in medicine or with your degree in engineering or whatsoever, but there's an opportunity there.
Yeah.
So you make money. Instead of you just say, no, because I have a degree in education, I'm waiting for my position. But you can already see in the news, you can already see in the system to say, you know, there's an oversupply of teachers in the system, especially, you know, primary school teachers. There's an oversupply of primary school teachers in our economy. And it's very difficult for them. The situation is very competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
You can find the three positions for they want a lower primary school teacher. Then you find 2,000 people.
Yeah.
Then you can already see that it's very competitive. But before, I'm not saying you should not have a dream of you becoming what you have dreamed about. But before you reach that goal, at least you must be found doing something.
Mm.
You must be in the process, because at the end of the day, people will disrespect you, not really to say because you have the capacity. It's because you cannot also see little opportunities.
Mm-mm.
Because there is always this argument, not really an argument, but we always have this conversation with my father.
Mm.
I used to tell him to say, if somebody comes from my village without a grade 7 certificate and go to the big city and come back with a car, what about me who completed grade 12 and passed?
Because
there's always this, you know, even though it's very difficult, you know, you're going to suffer. Yes, I'm going to suffer, but I think I have a competitive advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
If I can come into the street with a grade 12, with a pass, I think I have more advantage than somebody, unless I have too much pride.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm saying, no, if a guy can come from my village without, I think it's also a matter of mentality, without a grade 5 certificate.
Mm.
But he can go back to the village with a car.
Yeah.
With legal money that he made. Whatever he does, either his business, either he was a taxi driver, I don't care.
Mm.
But I think I have more advantage than this person unless I'm not seeing my talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why now the aspect of job shaming. Job shaming can come when you see somebody trying, then you come with a lot of negative views.
Mm.
Then you're also disencouraging this person.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some people are very scared of, you know, bringing their own hustle.
Mm.
Yeah, because I remember there was something on social media. It's a meme. Apparently, guys, they went to the same school together.
Mm.
Then he saw his friend. You know, like me and you are in the same class.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I see you are in the street. Then you are selling. You are selling maize. Then when you see me, you ran away.
Mm.
Now this guy say, no, I was so shocked when my friend is running away from me because I wanted to tell him that I'm selling coal. So he can use them as, you know, to cook, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm selling firewood, so you can use them to cook maize. Because we are in the same field.
Yeah.
But you are running away from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some of the things. A person is not really running away from you because, you know, he does not like you. A person running away from you because he think or she think that you are not going to accept the situation that you are going to find.
Mm-hmm.
Now a person was selling maize, now you are running away from your friend. Your friend was just selling firewood.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys, you can work together and think. How now, you know, it's very difficult. Yeah, yeah. You know, that's why, you know, job shaming is something which must be stopped.
Yeah.
And it's something which, and there is this thing, you know, if you are making money, if you are very good at making money, because if you have wealth, people don't care about where the money is coming from. Because the good thing about money does not speak a language.
Mm, it has no color.
Yeah, it has no color. It has no language. No height. No
nothing. Just money.
Yeah, it's just money.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that is where you guys are meeting.
Mm.
If there is a guy who his job is to dig cemetery, you know,
thing,
and you make money and you are very good at those things, I'm not saying you should go and parade what you do.
Mm.
But just focus on what you are doing. Don't run away from people because you will be surprised. A person who is job shaming you is somebody who is struggling to make the admin.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people don't really see beyond the faces.
Mm.
I can be there in the street job shaming you, but I just have $50 in my pocket. But maybe, yeah, true. Maybe you have 5,000.
Yeah, from that little hustle.
Yeah,
that you have.
Yeah,
that's true. And also like the even like individual like shaming from yourself.
Yeah.
Like it can really limit business opportunities because like you said, that guy saw that his friend was selling firewood.
Yeah.
And he had coal. Was selling coal. And
The friend has maize. He's selling maize, cooked maize. Firewood and coal also.
Yeah.
Then this one is running away thinking he lost in life.
Oh, and they are in the same category. You see, that was a business opportunity lost right there because of shame.
They could have worked together.
Yeah.
They could have worked together. Now you are running away from me. We are supposed even to form one cooperation that you can...
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really something that we need to look at because nowadays, even if you, whatever age you have, whatever skills you have, and if you are not able to make money, don't stay at home. Do something that you can, because there is always extra talent that God give you.
Yeah.
Because one thing I used to think about is that I think God gave you an invisible skill, that you cannot see. You know, there are situations that you find yourself to say, no, I'm very broke this month. I don't think I'm going to make it to the next month without borrowing money from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But out of the blue, you are in the 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, whether you are a student or you are working or you're hustling, but where do you think those things come from? God gave you a skill. It's only that you are still in the corner. You cannot utilize those skills.
It's true.
You are still in the corner.
Yeah.
Because the moment you come out of that corner, it's very easy for you. Because God, I don't want to say a lot of things about religion stuff, but there is those invisible skills in a person.
Yeah.
Why, Kave, have you ever seen somebody in Windhoek who died of, I don't want to say died of hunger, just died because there is no food, unless you cannot speak.
Yeah.
Even people call the marara pipe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can come to Windhoek from nowhere without money.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to survive. You're not going to die.
Yeah,
because you're around people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about you now who at least you have a house to stay, you have people who are supporting you, but you just don't want that like, extra thing that you do.
Mm. And I feel like a lot of those invisible skills are like brought out by our local authorities. Because these people, they see these people with small businesses, they see these vendors. So if they were to put themselves in a position where they can incapacitate these people to the extent that, hey, we see that you are doing this.
Yeah.
We see your talent. We see your drive.
Yeah.
And us as a governing body, we're going to do this to build you up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's the bottom line, where like all these vendors, they could be something bigger.
Yeah.
Had they just had the necessary resources that they need.
Oh, I think now it's corresponding to something that we were talking about at Ongunana. I think, you know, one thing that we have in Namibia is, I don't want to say we are scared, it's an ability to move beyond where you are.
Mm.
Let me say somebody has been selling, you know, there's always that woman in your, either in your street or in your village, who have been selling either fat cakes or fried fish for almost 10 years or 20 years.
Yeah.
But this person doesn't mean that he or she does not know how to make money. It's only that this person is not able to expand this business.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have been doing this for the past 20 years,
yeah,
you are able to make profit, to buy your stock, make profit and buy your stock. But what you are scared of is expanding.
Mm.
And that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
That's where the problem is. That's why I think it comes down to entrepreneurship skills.
Mm.
Yeah, it comes down to entrepreneurship skills, and it also comes down to your ability to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the entrepreneurs, where they fail also when they approach these local authorities or whatever, is that they go there without a business plan.
Yeah.
But then you are looking for capital investment.
Yeah.
Nobody's just going to give you money if you don't have like a 5-year plan on how your business is going to run for the next 5 years.
And you know what is also very funny is that what is very problematic is this. If you want to make money, everyone is in the process of making money. Don't go to people and ask them for money.
Don't ask
people money. That is the problem. Ask people for advice. Ask people for maybe equipment.
Yeah.
Then they see that you are serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you are saying, no, I need 25,000 to start a business, everyone is going to chase you.
Mm.
No one's going to do that. But if you say, no, I've started, I've been plating here, I've been cutting here for the past 2 years, I have this customer base, I also have a place.
Yeah.
I just need few equipment, or maybe I need a computer for a marketing, you know, a marketing website,
mm-hmm.
and I can have my people.
Yeah.
Then these people can, now that is where now assistance is going to come from. They give you now the equipment.
Yeah.
Maybe the money can come in. But if you are talking about money, then I don't think people are going to assist you.
It's true.
Yeah. That's why if you are able to make money, whatever job that you are doing, as long as you are not going food without a bread, continue doing that until you find something which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, why do you think you find people, they went to the same school, they got same results, so they all get maybe the same degree, but the system is not going to absorb you. Somebody become a street vendor. Somebody became a taxi driver.
Mm.
Somebody became a security guard.
Yeah.
But somebody went to his mother's house, his father's house, watching TV and start gossiping online and tell all these things that are not productive and saying, no, there's no job and what. Yes, it's true, I understand.
Mm.
But what are you doing in that process?
Mm.
Yeah, because if you are already 25,000, which we are waiting for our government or private sector to absorb us, what are you doing in that process?
Yeah.
Go and do, you know, become a temporary DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you are able to do that, you can do it. You can make money.
It's
true. Go, because There's one thing I love about, you know, law students.
Mm.
I think it's an advice that they got from law school. You know, most of the law students in their holidays, they work in bars, in restaurants, and in clubs.
Mm.
And if you look at the history of most successful people, you know what? You know what they are teaching them?
Mm.
They are teaching them customer service, and they are also teaching them how to work with people. Because it's not your job forever. Because if you understand this thing, when you become a lawyer, sometime you become that profession, you know how to deal with people.
Yeah.
Because let me say, if you're working in the club, night shift, you meet everyone. You meet a drunkard professor.
Yeah.
You meet somebody who does not drink. You meet the business people. Then those are the skills that you are getting. It doesn't mean that you are there until the end of time. We can already see now you have a paper. They just want, I think laws, it's something which is introduced in law school. Most of these guys, They are being taught these skills for them to learn in the future.
Mm.
Yeah, because sometimes I just need skills. I don't need a lot of things. Just give me skills so I can use them.
Yeah, it's true.
Don't give me money. Just give me skills. So, because if you have skills, you are able to survive. But really, job shaming a person, It's not right at all.
Yeah, no.
It's not right.
And because you'll also be surprised by how many people are sitting on their degrees.
Yeah.
Because of the way that the industry is.
Yeah.
So you don't know what people are going through. You don't know why a person is a security guard, why a person is a vendor. Because you can even find a vendor.
Yeah.
But then the person has a bachelor degree in whatever. Yeah. It's just because they couldn't get a job.
You know, Kaveh, why a lot of people in Namibia, they hate, not all of them, but most of them, they hate our friends from Zimbabwe.
Mm.
Some of these guys, when they come here, they see opportunities. But mind you, these guys who are selling brooms in the street, these guys, some of them, they have 2 master's degree.
Yeah.
But when they come and say, no, Namibians, you are very lazy. but it's so surprising, you find this guy making 5,000 in a day, renting in a nice apartment. But the job that he's doing, it looks like something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
But why does somebody come from another country, come to my country and make more money than me?
Mm.
If I even have advantage of the language and, you know, other things.
You're a citizen. Everything is open.
Yeah, everything is open for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this guy can just come and make more money than you and go to his house, support his family, just because you are scared of what people are going to say.
Mm.
And I think it's not only something that we need to tell others. It's also something within us. Because I used to have this thing until one of my friend, it's my uncle at the same time, told me that, no, David, sometimes you think people are looking. People, sometimes people don't even think about you. Yeah, you know, sometimes you say, hey, no, if I do A, B, C, and D, what people are going to say?
Yeah, yeah.
And they say, no. If in your life you continue with this thing, you are not going to grow.
Mm.
Because if you are scared of, people are going to say anything, whatever you do.
Mm.
Whether you are doing very well, you are doing very bad, whatever you do. If you buy tomorrow, you buy a Lamborghini tomorrow, or you bought a Jeep, I'll be complaining about, why did you choose that color? Why did you choose that color?
Yeah.
Okay, then if I like the color, no. How come you are driving it at night? Just a complaint.
Mm.
Oh no, why did you choose those rims?
Yeah.
Yeah, why did you choose a Lamborghini? You're supposed to choose A, B, C, and D. You're supposed to choose a Red Cruiser because you have a farm. People are going to say anything. If you bump it, then it's the good news again.
Yeah,
that's why if you are doing something, you know, if you are doing really something that you are happy about, or maybe something just to make money legally, I think don't look back. Because all those people who are telling you those things, they want to be like you also sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true. And David, I think we should give a chance to Kanjengo also.
Yeah.
Maybe to come unpack what he thinks, you know, about job shaming and about different types of hustles in the country and what can be done, what has been done.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I think let's go to a commercial break, then we come to Kanjoka Mpanyoka.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Now that's a view.
The only thing that'll make this better is
a Heineken, ice cold, crisp, and refreshing.
Now.
Yes, now. With the new Heineken 00, now you can. Wherever. It's made with 100% pure malt and 0.0% alcohol.
Yes.
Heineken 00. Now you can. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The festive season comes with a lot of traveling. Whether you're driving out of town, making a dash to the store, or simply crossing the street, ensure your safety by adhering to all the road rules during the holiday season. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heari nola natu heari bali no heari ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Yes, Kanjengo. Since we're talking about job shaming and you're at the forefront of all these economic matters, I want to understand, like, considering the level of economy that our country is faced with right now, are we really in a place to job shame another person or to talk down on the type of hustle that they have?
Yeah, like I would say from the beginning here that if you are shaming or laughing at anybody for doing something, I'm going to say this: you're dumb. I'm just going to say that, like, for real, there's no such, like, if you are observing what is going on and where we are coming from, and you are laughing at somebody for selling or ordering with me or standing outside, wherever, man, whatever they're doing, then I think there's something wrong with you. You really, really need to go to the hospital, or perhaps you just need some awakening. I think it was early last year in Windhoek, we have been observing that people are selling at the robots, like here and there, but now it got worse.
Yeah.
Like at every robot now, like in the middle of the line, there are young boys like that they're selling anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, like season, I think. And now I'm even seeing that, like, somewhere in Soweto, they are selling carrots, like peeled carrots. Like, they sell anything seasonal. Like, now is great time. They're selling great. They are almost selling anything fast. And that is supposed to give you a picture. And many people, when we are saying that the economy is not doing well, I think they tend to disagree, or they think that we hate the government, we are not appreciated. No. Look around.
Mm.
Look around. The informal sector is expanding. It's expanding like almost daily.
Mm.
It means that everyone is entering the informal sector. Why? Because your degrees and your diplomas and whatever it's not working.
Yeah.
Or the economy, the current business are not expanding. So I don't think we are in any position to laugh anybody. You are in any position to ask like that. When aren't you at school? Didn't you study what? There is no more such things. Don't, when you find me anywhere, don't be like, but you didn't study economics, but you didn't study accounting. No, the economy is really, really going through a different phase.
Mm.
The companies are not expanding as we expect. Some of them are going digitally. You know, they are embedding all these artificial intelligence and also these digital tools that can also replace some of what we do. So now if you put those together and also looking at also the quality of our education, and also looking at the mismatch between what is being demanded by the industry and what the university and the vocational training centers are providing, you will get to understand why am I selling Kapana. You get to understand that why am I doing order with me now, or why am I working in a salon as a barber, utilizing my talent, or why did I become a DJ? Even though in high school I was saying I wanted to be a doctor, but right now I'm a DJ, bro. Like, so... You, until you get to observe and take time to understand the economic structure and the economic transformation and how it's making some of our expertise and our diplomas and certificates redundant, you shouldn't laugh at us. You shouldn't judge anybody for whatever they're doing.
Mm. Mm. Now, don't you think maybe a lot of those judgments come from the way that we were raised? Because I remember, like, growing up, my parents would be like, you know, you have to be a doctor or you have to be a teacher. Like, all these other things that include, like, culture and stuff, they were not careers that were supported that much growing up. Don't you think maybe it comes from that?
Yeah, it definitely, that is one of the biggest influence is coming from our parents, because we were molded to go become a doctor, because it's the respect we attach to certain career choices.
Mm.
Like, if you're a doctor, you are respected. If you're a teacher, you're respected. If you're a nurse, you're respected. And I think I won't judge my parent or your parent for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That was their understanding of the economy at that time.
Yeah.
That was their understanding. Look, a cattle herder was very, very important back in our days,
mm-hmm.
because he make things happen. You know, he was very, very important because he would provide the mire, the milk, you know, to us. He was very important. Now, the modern economy is something different.
Mm.
Our parents were only getting to know that you need to be a doctor, the nurse, to be quite valuable. So, but at the point where we are now, we need to have very difficult conversation among each other. Guys, the economy is so diverse. The economy is so diverse. Now we need psychologists, industrial psychologists. You know, we need are people who understand or who can manipulate data to give inside data scientists and data whatever.
Yeah.
So there is so much which is now required by the economy. But unfortunately, our parents are not participating in this economy.
Mm.
They participated in that economy. So they only know what they know. And they do not utilize this artificial intelligence things. They do not utilize this market insight. They are not using the banking digital things. They are not. So they are not aware of how far the economy has moved.
Mm.
So that's why their stance is still like, be a nurse, be a doctor, be a pastor. For them, it's all about the respect within the society. However, right now, maybe we need people who can order things from China fast and efficiently.
Mm.
We need people who can participate in the supply chain. We need people who can link us to producers in USA or in China, and I can get my input. We need people who can come up with different things. We need entrepreneurs who can sell, trade, and also innovate. So meaning there are so many things that we can do. But unfortunately now, our parents only advise us to study those things.
Yeah.
But the economy is now at this level. So unfortunately, we did study the teaching and others. Now, unfortunately, the economy does not want us. So, my G, I am now having my stander of Kapana every Friday in front of a certain bar. I'm singing Brak, I'm taste. I'm always at the window, Kapana Festival, selling my Kapana. Or on my WhatsApp, I'm like, guys, I sell phone. Order with me to China, I'll get you your iPhone. Or perhaps I'm there, like I literally do people's laundry, like on my WhatsApp. I'm like, yeah, guys, over the weekend, I can come and pick up your things. I do laundry with my degree in psychology. So yes, it's emanating from what you have been told. Now we study things that are irrelevant to the economy, that are not wanted by the economy.
Yeah, but this informal sector, I feel like it can also boost tourism. Because if you look at other cities, like other countries like Nigeria, for example, they use their vibrant street markets as a way to attract the tourists. Because when they go there, they go there for the authenticity of it, you know. People are there selling local food and all that. How can Namibia now maybe also adopt that practice so that we can, you know, supply jobs for our people, but at the same time also benefit from it?
Look, yeah, there is so much potential in the informal sector. The informal is not bad. I think. Look, it's the connotation we attach to it. Look, we Namibian, we are so fancy, we are so bougie theoretically. Everybody wanna look like they are somebody. Everybody wanna look like I'm a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
The money is there. The money. Look, we are a smaller economy. We are an infant economy. The infrastructure, the banks, and everything that we have—they are not yours. They are all from South Africa. So all of us, we are starting from scratch, colleagues.
Mm.
And that's why most of us are in the informal sector. And that's why the Minister of Trade have now a startup and informal economy policy which is coming. Because we have to recognize the informal is not a black market like you're calling it. No, most of us with our degrees and diplomas that have been rejected by the economy, the formal economy, are going there to start. It's where we are starting our business. It's where we are actually doing a lot of things. And we need recognition. However you utilize it, it's not even for tourism purposes. No, just appreciate it because that is where everything is starting.
Yeah.
Because in a formal economy, so difficult for me to go rent in Venil. Look, I'm just importing my grape from Osinke and not doing it right now. I received my 5 boxes. So must I now go rent a room, a place in Venil? No, I cannot afford. I just got my boxes of grape now. So I'm going to stand at every corner in Windhoek and sell them, you know, and also on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So the informal is not so bad as people look at it. It's just that because you guys were studying about the American economy and the British economy and blah, 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 and you think that is where Namibia is. No. Many of the entrepreneurs and the startup are starting in an informal economy. And it's not so informal just because in our laws, we never respected it.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking about the formal economy because it's what creates employment. But guess what? They are now unable to take up most of the employment that we seek. Mm? Mm. They are unable to take up the debt. And so now we are stuck in that place where when we find the people at Okuliangava Stop and Shop, when you go to Greenwell Open Market, when you go to Single Quarter, we look at people like this, we come in like we are somebody just because you work for a bank. is the mentality that we have, and that's why we are shaming them. But there is one beautiful thing. If you go to like single quarter, those guys that are selling kapana, their confidence, bro, like it's so beautiful. It's amazing. Their confidence and the vibe and the energy is so formal because there is a whole value chain. When you go there, there's the kapana guys, there is the sauce guys, there is the pap one, there is the juice one. You know, the whole supply chain is so beautiful. So it can tell you and give you something that it's not so informal because those guys are arranged or they are so formalized in their operation. The source guy, the pap one, when you go to the source guy, you already know to connect you to the pap one, to the Oshifima one. You know, he can already connect you to the one with the juice and things like that. So it's so simple. The informal economy is not shameful. Yeah. Guys, go hustle. Go do what you need to do because the banks are not hiring as they used to be. We are not building manufacturing companies as we're supposed to. So if you have an idea, you have a product that you want to sell, go crazy, bro. Go big. Don't worry about those that are laughing at you because you have a diploma or you're in the same class at UNAM or NAS or at VTC. If you're a mechanic from Okakarara VTC and you have been trained to fix, go under that tree, bro. Like, go do what you need to do.
Yeah.
You don't need it to set up such a bigger things or buy overall and look all these fancy things. Go do what you need to do. Whatever they are laughing, they say money has no color, bro. However you make it, nobody will know as long as you have it, as long as you're making it, man. You see?
But then how important do you think like proper zoning is in terms of like, because a lot of the complaints that I've heard about why this sector is like frowned upon and stuff is because people say that they don't know how to operate in a clean way. They identify the city and stuff because, you know, they just set up everywhere and they have cars going around and stuff like that. And Windhoek has this reputation of being a clean city. So, like, how do you think proper zoning can really impact that?
Yeah, maybe the one of the shamings also come from where we are operating in terms of the hygiene. And I think this is not only the responsibility of the city, it's also your responsibility. Because you have to respect your hustle, my G. You cannot be operating in a place which is not clean. Mm-hmm. No, this is more sometimes that we blame the city and we blame everybody, but also you as a small guy or a vendor, startup, whatever you call yourself, you have to make sure that wherever you are operating it hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's under the bridge, whether it's in front of that venue or is it Okuliangava, wherever, bro, just make sure that your surrounding is clean, man. It's your hustle. How do you expect now the city to come and clean up after you? No. So for that, my message is to everybody, like, if you are participating in this industry and you're doing whatever you have to do, the responsibility of maintaining hygiene for your product, for your services, and wherever you're operating, the place that you're situated, that one is on you. That one is on you. And if you do not want, and many of these shaming, and also people laughing at us for doing whatever, it also comes because of how you are conducting yourself, how you are dressed, how the surrounding where you're operating. And I think if you organize yourself very well, if you clean up where you are situated, I don't think nobody will laugh at your hustle. And it is not, does not even have to be the responsibility of the city. And also how the city is going to approach you when they find you. It's going to be different. You know, when you don't have to wear a suit, it's just be clean, bro. Personal hygiene. And also where you are putting your product and where you are sitting for that particular day. Just pick up your trash, bro. I think that is not the responsibility of the city to keep hygiene where you're operating. Be a responsible vendor. We are all vendors, just that we are selling at a different platform. Some of them are vendors in a stock exchange. Some of them are vendors in a digital world on WhatsApp. Even when you're selling on WhatsApp, you are literally a vendor. It's just that you're a digital vendor. But for those that are sitting physically somewhere, you have to maintain hygiene. How you conduct yourself, it also it will influence how the city will approach you. Because if the city finds you that your surrounding is clean, how you set up yourself is so very respectful. I'm respectful and not disturbing the flow of whatever needs to flow. I don't think the city will be that hard on you, except in circumstances where now the city also has a responsibility. Remember, the city is not there to be served. the city is there to serve. Mm-hmm. And they also have a responsibility of ensuring that the people in Windhoek end that economic responsibility to serve people and to create a conducive environment so that Kanjengo, Kave, Nangula, Wilbad, and Van Wyk can make money in Windhoek.
Yeah.
The city also has a mandate to ensure that create an environment for these people to flourish. Mm-hmm. But there is now a certain mentality in the people in the local authority. They want to behave like they are in Paris. Like, you know, the city should be clean. We should not sell this. Mm-hmm. It looks so bad. You know, there is that narrow and shallow mindset. The people want to behave like they're in Washington, D.C., and people should not sell Kapana in the middle of the city. Dude, I'm going to support Supplied because I sell Kapana. Mm-hmm. I pay for electricity because I sell Kapana. So the mentality has to change within the people in the city.
Yeah,
guys, it's not about maintaining a clean city. Who cares? Who cares if you have a clean city while your people are hungry?
True.
It's now bad for the city to keep cleanliness at the forefront instead of facilitating. When you facilitate and you train your people and you talk to your people, they will sell and maintain a clean environment.
Mm-hmm.
But now the city put in front that the city should be clean. Kapana should not be sold here. We don't care about the tall buildings that people are not earning. The people, it is the problem of the people that we have in places who are putting certain things at the forefront. Colleagues, the economic inclusiveness, the ability for people to earn and live a decent life should be the priority. Mm-hmm. And we should be making sure that we do not just prioritize building tall buildings and pushing those that are hustling at the edge of the town. No. So if you wanted to maintain a clean city, build incubation centers, build the places where your vendors can sit, build places where your vendors have access to the traffic flow of people. If you are prioritizing tall building in a central business where your vendors cannot even access, then that is wrong.
Mm.
That is wrong. They will find a way to come and stand in front of number building. So that is where people are working.
Yeah.
So we have to create a balance. We have to create a balance. And more importantly, Kave, is that we have so many assumptions, guy, that the people will know. I'm telling you, the people will not know. It's good to just to take it a step with your people gradually to say, guys, I want you to behave like this if you're going to sell here. I want you to do things like this. We just have to talk to our people, guys. We need to stop assuming.
Mm.
Nobody trained those people. Some of them were born by veterans. Some of them were exiled kids. Some of them ended in grade 5 or grade 10. So so they do not know all these things that we are asking from them. And it's now the responsibility of the local authority and the city to work with their people. You were given a responsibility to maintain and to run the city of Windhoek. Not just to run the city of Windhoek in terms of taking care of the big guys, Namfisa and the ministry. No, but also for me who stay in Havana, but I come to sell in town. I also need your assistance. I also need you to find a place for me. I also need you to train me so I can do well and also set up well. It also come to the responsibility of the city.
But now, really, how do we bridge that gap between the local authorities and the people? Because even if you're walking that side of Vanil, those people that sell phone covers there and stuff, when they see the police approaching, these people are running for their lives. Like, because they have that fear in them that the police are going to do something to them or whatever. So how do we really bridge that gap in between the two parties?
You know, it's a mentality, man. It's a mentality, colleagues.
Mm.
It's a mentality. If you have people with degrees in the municipality who never seen a struggle, and then it become problematic. You know, this is what you experience. I live in Akana. If you call the municipality to come and set up something, to come and fix something, they will take 2 hours or 3 hours or a day.
Mm.
But if you live in Clean Windhoek and you call them, they will run.
Mm.
So do you see the difference? The respect towards the economic agent in the city. And it's not even any policy that you go to Clean Windhoek first. No, it's just the mentality of people alone that, Havana shkan, Hakana what? If you go at any of our informal market, their water taps are either not fixed in time, Nobody's expanding them on time. Nobody just giving them the service delivery that they get, because there is a disrespect that what they are doing is not valuable. Guys, the money is made. Let me tell you, the money is made at Okuliangava Stop and Shop. Why? Do you know that those people go to Osire and buy the stock, the vegetables from Osire farmers and from all over the farmers and come and sell them? That is where the money is made. But go and check the service delivery that they get from the city. So bridging that gap between the informal economy or the informal participant in the city is a mentality thing. And the main reason we are not respecting Stop and Shop is because the city is the one who's not respecting them first by giving them the best service delivery. So now if you sell at Stop and Shop, people will laugh at you, because when they come to support you, your infrastructure bad. So the job shaming is coming from the city not delivering the appropriate services to our vendors, to our small startup, regardless of whoever, the stage, how they look, whatever bank account they have. And it's also coming from the understanding that how do we make money? The banks don't make money. The bigger infrastructure in Central Windhoek do not make money. Money is made somewhere. Money is made at the farm level. Money is made in a manufacturing house. Money is made by the vendors who are procuring things. There is the mentality that we need to change of how do we make money? How does money get to be made?
Yeah.
So unless until our people come to such a level, then that gap is not going to be built. So you will now find the people in sit of... city police. And those are the people I really want to get into a room. Those are some of the people. I don't want to say bad word, ne? The people in the police force and the people in City of Windhoek, they don't need the prayers. They really, really need the education.
Yeah.
You know, ne? The people in the police force, those are the same people who eat fat cooks. You know that, right? Because they are very small. These are the same people who eat fat cooks. But every time they get sent by a local authority, they are jumping and kicking the women and the people who are selling down. The hypocrisy in those guys is amazing. These are the people with the lowest salaries who depend on those people. But every time they get to be sent by a local authority, they are there kicking things. I think the education and how their forces should, I mean, the power they have should be applied is very important. As a police officer, most of the police officers are staying in the castle. You know that, right? But whenever they get to be sent, they terrorize. I do not know what is wrong with them. So the gap needed to be bridged through education and also removing the ignorance within the police force and also within the city police. They needed to understand that those people are not the criminals.
Yeah,
those are people who are participating in an economy and trying to end. And actually, you have no power to demolish their things. You have only power to maintain law and order. But law and order should have a definition. Which criminal activity am I doing for targeting the traffic flow at the entrance of UNA? What criminal activity am I conducting? So, and that is what the police needed to understand and the city police need to understand, so that they cannot be used wrongly.
Yeah.
So that is the only way we can bridge the gap. We need to understand that. So, and the people who are laughing at us, they are laughing at us because city of police is chasing us. Now I'm going to be taking a picture because the city police have been chasing me. Now people are going to laugh at me. It's because of those type of behavior coming from the city police and coming from our police force. They don't have respect of what I'm doing. Then how do you expect the whole public to have respect of what I'm doing if I'm being deemed as a criminal?
Yeah, I understand that. But now just the beautiful thing that you know that I like about this type of businesses, the informal sector, is that they really contribute a lot to strengthening the community, because they do foster a lot in terms of tying, you know, they foster the community in terms of social interaction. And David and I were talking about how networking is important. And just when you go to these places like Single Quarters, for example, the level of networking that happens there, and I feel like it's a beautiful thing, and we don't even talk about it enough, because like you meet so many people at these places, and it's because there's that, that this is because those businesses exist. So they provide a chance for other businesses to be born from them also.
There is now what we call the spillover effect.
Yeah.
Every time you start up something, it awakens something somewhere.
Yeah.
Because look, you know, I will need once I set up a car wash here, I will also awaken somebody who sell the soap that I'm going to use to wash the car.
Yeah, yeah.
So every business that you set up, it awakens somebody to deliver services to you. So now if you look at the vendors are the most beautiful and most important people in this economy because they are strengthening the supply chain and the logistics. Now, like I live in Nusakati, and my brother sell fresh vegetables. And now most of our suppliers are in Etunda. So now there is two guys who go to Etunda with their buckets to get the tomato and the green pepper for us. But it did not exist if it was not for my brother who set up a stand. You know, so you look at this. So when we are calling people entrepreneurs, guys, you need to understand. An entrepreneur is just not just because you're hustling. An entrepreneur is because you set up something which is enabling other people also to feed on it. Now my brother just set up a tax shop at my mom's place. Now three guys with their buckets, they are going to Etunda and deliver the green pepper and tomato every month, or I mean 2 months or every time. So do you see that is now we are putting so less respect on my small brother for participating and opening a tax shop because he's an informer, look at your small ghetto you are selling. But we are not understanding the value he created. Mm-hmm. Those two guys with the bucket. And they are fueling every time they are going to Etunda.
Yeah.
Look at that. They are fueling. They are using their bucket. Just look at that value chain they have created. So you disrespecting a vendor who is at Okuliangava is because you literally do not understand that person went to Osire, went to Stambriet. They used the fuel. They paid some guy with a truck. Look at that money flowing. And that's what I'm saying, that those people are creating money. It's where money is made because they are facilitating economic activities. They are connecting other players in the industry. Mm-hmm. And that is a big deal, my guy. You know, look, go to Stop and Shop and see how many people are there. Go to Single Quarter. Go to Single Quarter and count how many cattle they are being slaughtered. Meaning some of our farmers cannot live without a Single Quarter.
Yeah.
They cannot live without Single Quarter. That informal guy that you are laughing at for selling meat at Single Quarter, he is supporting probably five farmers. Mm. Big farmers. But they are being supported by that guy at the Single Quarter every day because they buy a car. And now go calculate how many cows do they buy in a month. They are supporting commercial registered farmers, but they are just informal guys at Single Quarter or at the Green World.
Mm.
Now look at that. For you laughing at that guy who sells meat with his degree, you can understand. That's what I'm saying, that it's the understanding within the municipality. It is the understanding in the public of the value being created by these small entrepreneurs within the informal sector.
Hot dogs.
Yeah.
I wonder why it's called a hot dog. I can eat them day or night. Let's squeeze some tomato sauce on this bad boy and enjoy. Ah, no! Now I've got tomato sauce on my dog, my watch, and my favorite shirt.
Sometimes you just squeeze too hard and your favorite shirt gets ruined. But luckily with Express Credit's easy payday loans, you get up to 8,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Ah, now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
How do we brew the perfect Heineken? At Heineken, we use our 5-star brewing process to ensure a unique balanced taste for that refreshing first. Ah, not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.